Reggie, I'm at it.
Hey, Reggie.
I just thank God for another day clean. Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to stay here. I'd also like to thank this convention area service committee or convention committee for asking me to share. It's always an honor to do a Narcotics Anonymous meeting anyway. I think the topic is fourth tradition, anonymity or autonomy, two-edged sword. And that's a good topic. Because it talks about just what the literature says. Just in case you don't know what the fourth tradition is, I decided I need to read it because when I first came in, if it's somebody's first time, they might not know what we're talking about. And I believe as a speaker, you need to carry a clear and concise Narcotics Anonymous message. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. And if you like me, you want to know where they get these topics from. It says in this tradition that autonomy is a two-edged sword as well. I always get nervous when I got to do a meeting, always, because I know God going to shake some stuff out of me that I might not want to say. Autonomy. Each group is autonomous. What that means is self-governing. That means that the group has a right to make its own laws, its own rules, and govern itself accordingly, as long as it does not affect Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. We have some things in Narcotics Anonymous that become personality rather than principle meetings, and autonomy allows them to do that because the literature also talks about a group can become a direct reflection of the most dominant personality. In my early years in recovery, I used to go to the meetings that had something to do with my personality. See, because I was one of them guys who was used to chaos. I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous happy, joyous, and free, and willing to sit down and do everything you're supposed to do in Narcotics. I came here looking for some chaos. See, because my drug addiction was crack-oriented. And crack didn't have no whole lot of boundaries in terms of discipline involved in it. You just ripped and ran, did what you had to do to get more. So I was looking for that kind of atmosphere when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous. So obviously, I found them kind of meets. I went to the kind of meetings where people didn't turn off their phones and the people was running all back and forth inside the meetings and you could curse and you could say anything you wanted to say in the meetings and the kids was running around in the meetings and babies was crying and people would fight in the meeting, after the meeting, all that kind of stuff, and I felt right at home. I said, shucks, I belong in Narcotics Anonymous. It's the right fucking place for me. I'm so happy to be here. And I went to those meetings regularly, man, and did what I had to do to make sure I got there on time. Listen, I even got commitments in the meetings. You know what I mean? I wanted to be a part of it so deep. I wanted to be the coffee man and the cleaner. See, when I first came around, they had ashtrays in meetings because they had smoking meetings when I first came around. And I would go, you know, be the ashtray man and the chair man and all that kind of stuff just to be involved with the chaos that was going on. And I felt right at home. You know what I mean? And listen, I was one of them guys who once I got involved with something, I don't know if anybody else in here is like me. I like to take charge of stuff. You know what I mean? I like to, you know, be a part of something. So I want to be the boss of something. You know, that way I know I'm fully a part of. So I ran for all the positions that was available in the home group. GSR, secretary, treasurer, everything I could be in the meeting so I could keep my control over the meeting. And I didn't know nothing about no tradition four. And it was an experienced member that came in and said, listen, man, y'all need to study the traditions because we was doing what we wanted to in the meeting. You know what I mean? It was like a little family meeting of us. It was only about 15 of us, and we was all, you know, eat together. We went to coffee together. We were just so fucking happy to be clean. We didn't know what to do. And he said, y'all need to learn about the traditions because y'all doing some stuff in here that's not conducive to recovery. Now, I didn't understand what he was talking about. So he took me to the fourth tradition. He said, listen, each group is autonomous, which means you have a right to make rules. You have a right to govern the group. You have a right to do certain things in the group. But you got to keep the message of recovery conducive. You got to have the atmosphere, the steps and the traditions in the meeting. You got to have an atmosphere of recovery so that when people come in, they can feel this atmosphere and want to stay a part of this atmosphere. So we took his suggestion, and we started doing that, and I don't know if anybody else in here is like me, but obviously you are, because you got a seat in Narcotics Anonymous like I do. See, after we did this, our group wanted to run things a certain way. We wanted to become militant. We went from chaos to militancy. And we wanted you to sit down, shut up, take your hat off, don't talk in the meetings, get your kids, don't mess up the chairs. We became a regimented group of little soldiers and Narcotics Anonymous running around with this thing, man. We had to group our timing, and we're going to run the group the way we see fit, and y'all don't like it, y'all can leave, because we had this meeting, and we all right. And we became little N.A. police. And people stopped coming to our meeting because we started chasing people out of the rooms because the atmosphere of recovery, that welcoming feeling and that belonging feeling was starting to be lost in our group. It says in the tradition here, it says, whatever the type of format the group uses for its meeting, the function of a group is always the same, to provide a suitable and reliable environment for personal recovery and to promote such recovery. As long as the group is doing that, that's the main function. See, because it's the person that's coming in that don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous, that don't have a clue as to what the traditions are, that don't have a clue as to what the steps are, that don't even have a fucking clue about staying clean. They need to feel something. And if the rooms can't offer what they need in terms of a feeling, it could chase them back out. So they need to get them hugs when they first come in. They need to hear the literature. Because, see, I didn't know nothing about the literature when I first came here. How did I learn about Narcotics Anonymous literature? Was not picking up a book. I listened to them read that. Who is an addict? What is Narcotics Anonymous? Why are we here? And I would listen to that stuff. And I would listen to the 12 steps being read and the 12 traditions being read. And that kind of stuff would confirm that maybe, just maybe, I need to be here. See, because I was one of them addicts who had a reservation when I first got here. I just thought that my problem was y'all. I didn't think I had a problem with drugs. I just think that if I hadn't been hanging out with y'all, man, I would have been able to get my life together. But it was like every time I got some money, I would run into one of y'all, and y'all would make me mess up my money, so then y'all was my problem. But I found out different when I got here, and it was the atmosphere that the fourth tradition creates, that atmosphere of recovery and conducive to me wanting to stay here, because I started hearing some stuff, and I started feeling some stuff, and I started to understand that maybe, just maybe, this program could work for me. Maybe. It says, autonomy never gives a group the freedom to act on their own to establish an atmosphere of recovery, serve their members, and fulfill their primary purpose. It is for these reasons that we guard our autonomy so carefully. It said, it would seem that we were in our groups and can do whatever we decide, regardless of what anyone says. This is partly true. Each group does have complete freedom, except when the action affects another group, other groups of NA as a whole. It used to be a meeting in the area that I live in that it would be more people at the meeting outside the meeting than it was people inside the meeting. And the group format was that you couldn't hang around outside. The group format was that once the meeting was over, the people didn't want you congregating outside. But during the whole meeting, these people would congregate outside the meeting, and it became like a flea market. They would have the trunks open selling incense and incense oils and stuff they got from New York or wherever they got it from. And they would have like the music blasting outside the cars and stuff, and people be shining their cars and everything outside the meeting. And the meeting be going on the inside. And it was some people who stayed out there the whole time of the meeting. And eventually, the meeting closed. And people couldn't understand why the meeting closed. The ones who understood was the people that was trying to go inside to get the message. The ones that didn't understand was the ones that was disrupting the atmosphere of recovery outside the meeting. If the group says don't meet outside, don't meet outside. If the group say take your hat off, you don't like going to that group where you think you can keep your hat on, and go to a meeting that they say keep your hat on. You know what I mean? If you don't like the format that the group has, go to another group. You know what I mean? But these guidelines are set, man. I believe that they're spiritual in nature. Is what the group needs in order to survive. You know what I mean? They say, turn your cell phones off. People don't turn their cell phones off in meetings, right? You know, when I first came around, all they had was pages. They didn't have a whole lot of cell phones. Now everybody got cell phones, and they come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they're so important that they got to keep their cell phone on while they're in the meeting, and the phone go off, and it disrupts the whole meeting, and they don't see the problem in it. I do. And it ain't because I ain't got a cell phone. I got a cell phone, but mine is off when I'm in a meeting, because this is what got me the ability to get a fucking cell phone. When I was using, I couldn't keep no cell phone. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what a cell phone was till I come and knock Narcotics Anonymous. The format says don't have them on, don't have them on. You know what I mean? It's something about the atmosphere of recovery that a newcomer, like I was when I first got here, when I went into the meeting, I needed to see just what y'all did. Because, see, I came from the crack house. I didn't have a whole lot of order in my life. So when I came here, I needed to see, because I didn't believe y'all could just stay clean and not use. I didn't believe that. So I needed to have proof. So when I would come to the meetings and I would see y'all just sitting there, not smoking and not doing nothing and just listening and sharing and stuff like that, it was something about the listening and the sharing that made me want to stay in here, because I started to feel stuff that I hadn't been accustomed to feeling in a long time. So I started to want to stay, and that was the atmosphere that the fourth tradition allows, man. That group that I was a member of, once I finally got out of the chaotic way and we stopped being little soldiers in Narcotics Anonymous and we start trying to follow tradition and it just had an atmosphere of recovery where people would care and share the Narcotics Anonymous way, it became easier for me. I started to feel some stuff. I started to understand some stuff. I started to get the ability to ask questions about how does the group work? What is the money for? What is the basket for? What is the literature? Y'all was talking all this stuff in Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for older members who knew some stuff. They explained this stuff. I didn't know what an IP was. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what a business meeting was. I didn't know what a group conscious was. I didn't know what none of that stuff was until I started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings and the atmosphere of recovery was conducive to my recovery and I started to feel some stuff and I wanted to stay. That was the thing that I needed to do. I needed to just find a niche in Narcotics Anonymous. And once I started finding my niche and started to feel a part of, I started to feel good about Narcotics Anonymous and I wanted to promote this thing. You know what I mean? But, you know, later on in tradition, it ain't about promotion, it's about attraction. It says here, it would seem that we are in groups that can do whatever they decide, regardless of what anyone says. That's not true, because if, in effect, y'all let me, I would have Reggie Narcotics Anonymous meetings. Well, y'all would have to do just what I say. Y'all would have to dress the way I want y'all to dress. Y'all would have to smoke the kind of cigarettes I want you to smoke. If you didn't smoke, I'd probably be trying to convince you to smoke so that when I handle cigarettes, I could get cigarettes from you. The whole nine yards. I thank God, man, for people that are in Narcotics Anonymous who've incorporated the traditions in their life so that they can help me apply them even when I don't want to apply them. Talks about also NA as a whole, like a group conscious autonomy can be a two-edged sword. That's where they got this topic from. See, because, like I shared earlier, we had the ability to become so regimented and so strict, or we had the ability to become not so strict that we just allow anything to happen in our groups. And then when people come in who don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous, they don't get the message of recovery. They get the message of our stuff. You know what I mean? The big I and the little you start taking over. And when big I and little you start taking over, then they start running people out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's when it becomes the two-edged sword, because sometimes groups don't have enough people who are involved in traditions to help along the way, and the group start running itself the way it wanted to run itself, and it runs people out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I tell you what. One of the things I like about this tradition is that when we set up our home group, we had certain things that we wanted to do. We wanted to make sure that we didn't have a whole lot of chaos going on in the meeting and stuff like that. And we didn't make a whole lot of rules. We just made some basic rules. You know what I mean? That the men's room is over there, ladies' room is over here, coffee's in the back. You know what I mean? Literature's in the back. Please pick it up if you can after the meeting. You know what I mean? Turn off your cell phones and your pages while the meeting is going on, please, because it's somebody that might need to hear the message of recovery. I mean, real simple stuff so that once the message got started, could be heard clearly. Just in case somebody wanted to save their life. Just in case somebody came in here for some hope. See, because after a while you be here, some people start to lose the purpose of what they're here for. I was one of them. I ain't going to sit here and say, y'all, I was one of the people. See, I came here and started finding out you could make money in Narcotics Anonymous. So I opened up a business in Narcotics Anonymous. I was selling shirts out my trunk. You know what I mean? I wasn't sending none of the money to the World Service Center. All that money that I had making them NA shirts was going in my pocket. I had to find out, man, that according to the traditions, I had no business doing that outside or inside the meetings. None. And I had to stop that behavior. You know, I need to say also, man, that the fourth tradition with the group autonomy piece, we have to be careful, because some people, in the literature talks about the dominant personality, they start taking over a group. And once they start taking over a group, that group starts to become a reflection of their mentality. And when you had a group consciousness, they have a little committee already set up so that when the vote come down for you to do certain things in a home group, then they raise their hand so that the guys that's trying to do the spiritual stuff can get voted out. You understand? And then the group becomes a reflection of that personality. And once the group becomes a reflection of that personality, all the people who don't fit that reflection or that type of personality ain't welcome. It happens in Narcotics Anonymous. I've changed home groups several times because of that behavior. You know what I mean? I didn't have enough clean time, babe. You know what I'm talking about? I ain't have enough clean time for the folks that was involved in the big part of the meeting. So when I went to make a motion about making some change, they didn't, no, we vote you down. And I kept getting voted down. I kept getting voted down. And then I stepped out the picture. And when I stepped out the picture, I started to see that they didn't want to make no change. They was just all right with the meeting being the way that it was. Here I am wanting to do something for I think was the betterment of the group. They didn't think so. So I had to step out the group. And when I stepped out the group, I found out that I wasn't the only one that had stepped out the group. You know what I mean? I found out that group itself ended up folding as well. You know what I mean? And it wasn't that I had nothing to do with it. It was just that it wasn't spiritual in nature. It wasn't carrying a conducive message of recovery. It was discriminating against the people who had anything to do that was outside the committee. Because we're a society within a society. Now, follow me on this one. We're a society within a society. And then sometimes within this society that's in a society, we create little other societies. They call cliques. And once the clique get moving in the group, the autonomy of the group is a reflection of what they think, not of what it really supposed to be. And then they get their little clique started, and then you start going contrary to the clique, then you a problem. You can't get no commitments in that group. I couldn't. They kept, you know, every time I wanted to be this, well, the only thing I could do was be a chairperson. And I ain't talking about standing up here. I'm talking about the one that fold the chairs up and put the chairs down. I said, that's your commitment. That's what you do that one. You do it real good. And that's the only commitment I could get in the group, man. I didn't understand why. See, because when I came here, I didn't know what recovery was all about. And I was searching for recovery. I was searching for something different because I used for over 25 years. I said, it got to be a better way to life. And I was looking and I was hungry and I was vigorously going after it. But the people who was in this little clique, they was all right where they was at. Be careful. There's people in Narcotics Anonymous who come here and get what they come for, and they don't want no more after they get that. Literature talks about, why are you here? I don't know why you're here, but I'm here, man, because I needed to find out how to use without the pains of everyday horror of using, and to find a better way of life. Everybody ain't here for that. Some people come back for the wife, some back for the car, some back for the job, some come for the kids, and once they get that stuff, their recovery's over. They ain't doing no change, and recovery is an ongoing process of changing ideas, attitudes, and behavior. They ain't doing that. I'm clean, and I'm crazy, and I'm all right being clean and crazy because I got my wife back. And they be all right with that. And then they get, like I'm telling you, the little clique that be working in the group, and it be all of them that got their wife back, all of them clean and crazy. And if you ain't got no wife or you ain't clean and crazy, then you don't fit. And the group autonomy will reflect that you don't fit. You understand? One of the things I suggest to anybody who's getting involved in a Narcotics Anonymous group, go to the group conference. Go to a business meeting. Then you find out what the group is about. Because the group can get some awesome speakers. They can get people from all over the world to come to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, but that don't mean nothing about the content of the group. Is the treasurer turning the money in? Is the group turning money into the area? Is the area making contributions to the region? And all the way up the food chain line. Is that stuff going on? You know what I mean? Carrying a concise and clear message of recovery just don't mean standing up here getting good speakers, passing the seven tradition basket, saying at the end of the meeting, we do recover in a serenity prayer. That ain't the hit. That ain't all it's about. It's people that we have committees here, ad hoc, outreach, all them other committees that need the finances that we've been blessed to get. So if the group on time don't reflect that, then are you in the right group? Question I ask myself, am I a member of the right group? See, because if my group ain't carrying the clear and concise message of recovery, then am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? What do I have to do to make sure that my contribution is a part of the solution? See, because I know that when I came here, I had green trash bags and I didn't have no money. And the people in the group gave me money. They gave me food. They took me to meetings. They gave me literature to read. They did a lot of stuff for me in the beginning of my program. And it was because that group was centered in the recovery process and it was governed by the fourth tradition. They knew that I was going to come in there sick and suffering. They knew that someone else was going to come in there sick and suffering. And if the group ain't doing the right thing with the money, when it comes time for them to call the service center and get some literature, the service center might not give them the literature based on their contributions. So be a part of. You know what I mean? I get filled up with this kind of stuff, man, because it's so many things that go on in Narcotics Anonymous to me that are contrary to the recovery process. There's so many things that are allowed in Narcotics Anonymous today that weren't allowed when I first got here. It was unheard of for a newcomer to be talking to a girl when I first got here. They told me when I first got here almost 11 years ago, all you need to do is find out if you want to stay here, keep going to meetings, sit down, shut the fuck up, because we don't need to know how to cop. Kept it real simple for me, and I needed that. I needed that because I thought I knew something. You know, you get clean, you get buffed up, you get haircuts regular, you think you know something. But for real, if I knew something, I wouldn't be in Narcotics Anonymous. I knew not to fuck with no drugs. I didn't know that. All I knew is that I needed to find a new way of life, and these rooms offered me a new way of life. This tradition helped govern that new way of life to continue to go on in my life. Even up to the day, I watch and I watch the folks in a group. And if I find that group is not conducive to what I'm trying to do, not that the group, nothing wrong with the group. Nothing wrong with the group. If you are, like I told you in the beginning, I was all right with chaos group. I was all right with the confusion group. I was all right with seeing a fight once a week in the group. I was all right with that in the beginning, and it kept me clean. But after a while, and you start doing some changing in your life, and your life starts to take on new meaning, you got to find peers that are doing the same thing. See, I'm married. I can't hang around with single guys. I can't. See, because single guys show me how to do the wrong thing. And then I'm capable of following them and being all right with that kind of stuff. And then I got to start living like I'm using once again clean. See, it's already in my story, so I ain't trying to put it back in my story again. I know for the day that I hang around people that's married and trying to do the married thing. I hang around guys who's in committed relationships who trying to do the committed relationship thing. I hang around with folks who trying to do the steps and the tradition. If they ain't trying to do that kind of stuff, ain't that I'm no better than. It's just that I decided with my life I want to go further than what I came here with. I don't want to keep being the same Reggie that came in here in 91. I don't. I want to be a different Reggie. I want God to continue to show me the things I need to see in my life so I can continue to grow and continue to go further. Because listen, they told me when I first came here that the sky was the limit. They ain't tell me there was something above the sky. It's some stuff above the sky because, see, my dreams have been surpassed in our consciousness. I thought I was at the limit. But God said, no, once you do some stuff and you start getting involved in this thing and you start incorporating these things in your life changed. Your goals change. Your ambitions change. Your desires change. And I need to be in a group that has that kind of reflection. I need to be in a group that some guys is doing some positive guy stuff. They showing me how to be a dad. Because I don't know about you. Active addiction didn't have the class 101 of parenthood. They didn't have it on the corner I was copping at. Or I probably would have bought the package and tried to sell it to somebody the fuck else. You feel what I'm saying? I needed to find out how to do this stuff when I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know how to pay my bills on time. I got to Narcotics Anonymous and ran up credit cards because I didn't have them when I was using. I don't know about y'all. My credit was messed up when I got here. I needed to be around that kind of atmosphere where people talked about credit problems, where they talked about the honest stuff, the honest shit, and the honest antidote to that stuff, to my disease thinking. Literature says that the best antidote for disease thinking is another recovering addict. I needed somebody who was in recovery. I need to be in a group where I can feel home. That's what they call home groups. I need to feel home where I can go in there and say some stuff and I ain't have to worry about when the meet was over, somebody taking a cell phone and running with that stuff. Because that's a new thing too. Be careful what you share in the rooms. If you ain't ready for what come after you share, you better share with some other folks first and see what happens. Because you can share some stuff in some of these groups in Narcotics Anonymous. You can best believe you think somebody going to smoke a cigarette, they're going to call your wife or your husband or whoever it is, your significant other, whoever that is. So I had to learn, man, what I come here for. And what I come to Narcotics Anonymous for is the atmosphere of recovery that is conducive to my recovery. Now listen, I need to share this. If in effect you want to do the right thing in Narcotics Anonymous, it's here. But if in effect you want to do the wrong thing in Narcotics Anonymous, it's here. And I found both. I'm speaking from experience. I found both. When I wanted to do the wrong thing, I went to a home group where the guys was doing the wrong thing. And I hung out with them, and we all did the wrong thing. And our group governed that stuff, and it made it real convenient for us to go in there and pick up the newcomers and do all that stuff. Because we didn't have no format protecting, none of that kind of stuff. And we ain't guard against it either. But after a certain period of time in my recovery, I started to find out that it was a better way. There's other things I could do with myself other than just be selling myself short, settling for hamburger and I really want a steak. There's some other stuff I can do. And I started to selectively look for groups that was promoting that kind of stuff in their business meetings and promoting the when they had a marathon to turn the money into the area. You know what I mean? When they had a dance in the name of Narcotics Anonymous to turn the money into the area. You know, it's like whatever you want in Narcotics Anonymous, you can get. Seriously. The group that you go to, you can find everything you want to find in that group. As long as the group is doing what the lynchers say. You got some folks in there working in 12 steps, then good. You got some folks that's working in 12 traditions, then good. But my thing is, what am I bringing to the table? If I ain't bringing no step experience, and I ain't bringing no tradition experience, and I ain't bringing no do the right thing because it's the right thing to do experience, then what am I trying to get out of the group? What's my purpose? See, I can't always just look at the group just because each group is autonomous. I got to sometimes look at my motives. I got to sometimes look at the motives of others. You know what I mean? And see what I'm being attracted to. Because, you know, this is, even though it's based on attraction rather than promotion, there's some things that get attractive in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Really attractive. That ain't the right thing to do. I ain't going to say nothing what they are because somebody might be doing them and they might want to see me after the meeting. So I ain't saying them. Y'all know what they are and I know what they are. But I do know this. That in Narcotics Anonymous, we can get attracted to the right thing, man, and we can find some new ways to live. You know what I mean? And we can get away from some of the old bugaboos and the old behaviors and the old resentments and the old fears and the old adages and the old ideas and the old behavior. We can get away from some of that stuff and find some new stuff, man. And the group that I'm involved in kind of helps me do that. I'm in the process of finding a new home group now. Because I believe that the group that I'm in no longer helps me where I'm trying to go. I need some guys that are in my life that are trying to do the same things that I'm trying to do. And I'm looking for that in the home group. Because I want to be able to go to that same home group like I used to and feel free about sharing stuff openly. You know what I mean? I want to be able to talk about my shortcomings. I want to be able to talk about my fears. I want to be able to talk about my inadequacies. I want to be able to talk about my lack of being able to be a father. I want to be able to talk about that stuff and not be judged. Not be beat up because I ain't doing it. You know what I mean? I want to be able to get the help that I need. And I need a group that's practicing some of them principles they sell so that they can help me continue to practice those things. And or show me how to even practice. You know, listen, it's a great honor to be asked to do a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. It's another speaker that's getting ready to come. And hopefully if you got something out of what I share with you, I'm happy. If not, then the next guy's coming and hopefully he can give you what I didn't give you. That's all I got.
Thank you. And now I'd like to ask our second speaker to come up, Jeff B.
Hi, family. My name is Jeffrey, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jeffrey.
And it is truly an honor to be asked to share your experience, strength, and hope for me in the program Narcotics Anonymous, because this program literally saved my life. And tradition meetings are traditionally not very popular. And those of us who have inquiring minds, we usually attend them, I know I did in the beginning, simply to get some ammunition to back people up off of me and to see what was going on. You know, I didn't really care a lot about the traditions when I first got here to the program. You know, I didn't see how being concerned about the traditions was going to help me stay clean. So my sponsor explained to me that we're going to get involved in step work first so you can find out who you are, hopefully become a better person as a result of it, start practicing a new way of life, and then I could become a vehicle that can be used to help other people. So in order for me to be able to do that, I got to get the whole program. You know, I used to do the same thing. I'm a salesman by nature. I started selling drugs a long time ago, and when I came in, I thought I didn't have any skills. And somebody said, well, take that skill. Maybe it's something that you could do with that. So I got a vending stand. I started vending. Today I own a little shop, which was one of the dreams of mine. And coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I have ascertained all my dreams. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm on my third set of dreams. You know, my sponsor told me that the steps protect me from me. and the traditions protect y'all from me, you know. And I didn't quite understand that. What it is like I heard Reggie share about the strong personalities. We all, most addicts, have strong personalities, you know. We're very aggressive, most of us, even if it's in a subtle way. You know, some of us are more subtle than others. We're going to get our way some kind of way. We're going to manipulate. We're very manipulative. And so we'll come into a group and we'll try to manipulate the group into being what we want it to be. You know, and the traditions will help us not to be able to do that. There's some things in place to guard against these strong personalities like mine. You know, one other thing that I found out was that as an addict, me being an addict, my experience has been that we always want to change things. As a newcomer, we come into a group that's been established for years before we get there. Already probably got a policy in place, but we'll decide that we know the answer and how to make this group run better. So we'll start changing things or try to change things. The traditions are in place to keep that from happening, you know. I personally tried to do a lot of changing things when I, because I had a lot of ideas, you know. I believe that I had a lot of ideas, you know, when I came in. I wanted to change a lot of things. Unfortunately, the group voted me down, you know, thank God. Because we would have went to 2-hour meetings, you know, we would have had a little donation box back there with a coffee at, you know. You know, the literature, you would have had to leave a dime to pick up a pamphlet, you know what I mean? Because we needed some money, and I'm thinking of ways that the group can make money, you know. So thank God that for the second tradition, we had a group conscience, and they voted against that. First tradition talks about unity, and our unity should come first, because without the group, there is no me. What that says to me is that you all can have a meeting without me, but I can't have a meeting without y'all. And I didn't know that. You know, the second tradition, I wanted to know who runs things, who's in charge. You know, who makes the decisions? That's what I want to know, you know. Why they ain't got no decaf back then, you know. So in order for me to find out those kind of things, I had to go to the business meeting. And in going to the business meeting, I found out that it was a loving, caring God that made the decisions for the group. And that comes from the group conscience. But unfortunately, what happens is a lot of us don't take the privilege of being able to vote and make decisions very serious. What happened is that the guy with the stronger personality or the female with the stronger personality who's got 3 or 4 sponsees in the meeting, who brought one of their friends in the meeting, who had the meeting before the meeting over the phone about changing things, usually makes the decisions. But see, the group conscience is supposed to guard us against that. But the only way the group conscience can work is if I take my vote very serious. I can't just vote because Jackie voting for it. I gotta consciously know that what I'm voting for is gonna affect people that's coming in behind me. I've had people that come in meetings, our business meeting in my particular home group, which is the closed Sunday group. We meet every Sunday at 7 o'clock. At Bethany Lutheran Church, and we were covering our ass off over there. Now, I had people come over there and with a 10-hour business meeting and effectively change things and not come back to the group to help support the change. And what will happen is, with that is now you got a policy in place who the newcomer coming in don't understand why it's there, and there's nobody there to tell them what's going on or why it ever came into effect. So, I take my vote very serious. I don't vote in everybody's home group. When I go to other groups, people asking for anniversary dates, I don't vote. I'm not a member of that group. You know, I don't know what the policy is over there. You know, I vote in my home group. and I take it serious. And I try to impress upon newcomers, not just to vote simply because somebody else is voting on an issue. Like people would say, I make a motion that we do this. And then somebody say, I second it. So I say, what you seconding? They say, I don't know, but I'm just trying to get the meeting going on, you know. And I would explain to them the seriousness of seconding a motion that you don't know what the motion is actually about. That's what's going to happen is a change is going to take place that's going to affect the effectiveness of this group or this body. I also am a member of the service body of the South Potomac area. Actually, I'm the chairperson for that area. So I enthusiastically seek out information as to the traditions and how they should be applied spiritually. And I find that is one of the problems that most of us suffer here in Narcotics Anonymous is the fact that we don't feel worthy enough to be able to make a decision based on the information that we have and what we want. You know, I'm the type of guy, or before I got here, I wanted to do what you wanted to do. You know, you want to go to the movie? Yeah. What you want to go see? I don't care. What you want to go see? You know, you want something from the store? Yeah, I want something. Give me a soda. What kind you want? I don't care. Just give me what you want. You know, I couldn't make a decision. The program has taught me to be able to make decisions for myself, to seek out the information so I can make an informed decision. Now, who can become a member? Anybody. See, and I'm glad of that because before coming here, I didn't feel that I qualified to become a member of anything. Anything that I needed to qualify for, I didn't really have a lot of interest in. I only did enough work in school not to fail. You know, I never did my absolute best to get A's, you know, to be at the top of the class. I did just enough to get by, you know. And that's the way I came in here. I came in here just doing just enough to be able to say I did it. And I wasn't a completer. I was a good starter, but I never finished a whole lot of stuff, you know. So the program has taught me how to start, stick it out, and see it all the way through, you know. And I learned that. So who can become a member? What's the requirement for membership here in Narcotics Anonymous? The only requirement is that we have a desire to stay clean. That ain't too hard, you know. And it used to say an honest desire. But what they found out was they would have addicts standing back, which we'll do, and say, his desire ain't honest, because he keep relapsing. Her desire ain't honest. All she come here for is a man. She don't even stay for the whole meeting. She come in and pick somebody up and roll out. So you would have people determining who in effect wants to stay clean and who don't want to stay clean. So they took the word honest out. They said just a desire, that's all it is. And just the fact that you in a meeting is desire enough for us. Okay, so what kind of group we gonna have? We are a program of unity, which is one of the principles of our first tradition, but not of uniformity. And doing the research, what I found out that what that means is it doesn't mean that, okay, it means that the two-headed sword is that it means that we could do and have any kind of group we want to. But on the other hand, we can't, because what we do at our group, if it affects any other group or Narcotics Anonymous as a whole in a negative fashion, then we are in violation. So, if, perfect example, if I'm in my group, our group, and we have autonomy, we figure we could do whatever we want to, and we let the pastor come and share. Pastor come and share, hi, my name is Jeffrey, and I'm a preacher. I never used drugs before. And I pity you people, you know. The only way that I know that your life can be saved is if you find whoever his higher power is. You understand what I'm saying? It might be Jesus Christ. It might be Buddha. It might be Allah. You know, and okay, so now we in a meeting that's called Narcotics Anonymous meeting, but we got the preacher leading the meeting. Matter of fact, he getting speakers that ain't even addicts. So the newcomer, fresh off the street, looking for a new way of life, is in this meeting, and he thinks that that is the way that Narcotics Anonymous is ran. He believes that on that meeting list, that every meeting on that meeting list is ran the way that this particular meeting is ran. He has a problem with Jesus Christ, or Buddha, or Allah, or Muhammad, or whatever. So, what has happened as a result of pushing that on people, we lose the opportunity to maybe save another life. This is a spiritual, not religious program. The sixth tradition guards us from that happening. And somebody that's informed would be able to say, hold it, you know. We don't mean no harm, but we cannot allow you to share here at this meeting because this is a narcotics meeting. And we don't endorse or lend the NA name to any outside facility or enterprise. See, because property, money, and prestige will divert us from our primary purpose. And we got a fifth tradition that tells us what our primary purpose is. The only reason why we're here is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. That's our primary purpose. Now, in keeping with the autonomy part, I have to concern myself with the changes that I'm talking about making. How is it going to affect another group or narcotics as a whole? Even more than that, how is the changes that I'm going to make affect the newcomer coming in the door that's going to have to carry the meeting after I start getting, you know, when I get my life together and my plate get full, I don't come as often as I used to come. So how is it going to affect the newcomer? Now check this out. The only thing that the meeting is supposed to be about, because we don't need a whole lot of changes, is to carry the message. Is the message being carried here in this meeting? The fourth tradition also keeps me aware that now, when I make a decision for something to be changed, for instance, in my home group, one of the things that we've done, we was a beginner step meeting, 1, 2, 3, at one point. And as the members grew and started doing step work, we had a group conscious, and we went to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then the Green and Gold book came out, and we would do a tradition, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then at the end, the last Sunday of the month, we would do a tradition. Now, with each change came a group conscious. And there were other members that was in the area that heard that some things was going on over there at closed Sunday. We need to go over there. They're making some changes over there, you know. So as the group grew, and the members of the group, see, because that's the only time some changes should be made, is if it's for the betterment of the entire group and not just for one particular individual. So we wanted to go to 12 steps and 12 traditions because that's the full program. Program is not a 1, 2, 3 step. Program is a 12-step program, although newcomers need a platform to be able to express themselves. And I truly believe that. We don't come in here with the information that we get after we keep coming back. So we had a group conscious, and we researched it in the local guide to services. And the local guide to services says that larger groups sometimes break off into one or more groups. And beginners meetings can be held either a half an hour before the meeting or half an hour after the meeting because they need that information. They need that platform for themselves. So what we did as a group, we had a group conscience, and we decided to go from 1 through 12, and the last 10 minutes of a 90-minute meeting would be devoted to the newcomer, who possibly did not understand what the eighth tradition was talking about, who possibly didn't understand what the eighth step was talking about. And they didn't necessarily have to share on the eighth step or the eighth tradition. They could just make us aware that I don't understand nothing y'all said. You know, I want to go see the crack man when I leave here, you know, or I ain't got no ride, I don't know how none of that's going to keep me clean, you know, or whatever they're going through. You know, sometimes newcomers come in and they be around for 30, 60, 90 days and in their mind nothing has changed. I still feel bad. I ain't got no money. You know, we had a newcomer just shared just last Sunday about he ain't had no money, he had no job, he don't know what's going on, don't look like things getting better for him. And he was able to share that because we was on the 11th step. And he was able to share that because we had that last 10 minutes strictly for the newcomer. And he felt comfortable enough to share that, you know, in that environment. And we was able to do that through the fourth tradition. Each group is autonomous, except in matters that affect NA or other groups as a whole. I love the program Narcotics Anonymous, so I try to get as much information as I can. You know, I try to do right by Narcotics Anonymous. But the traditions are basically left up to interpretation. It kind of depends on who's interpreting the tradition at that time. See, and the literature tells us that. You know, I used to be a stickler for, I say stickler, but y'all would call it tradition police. And, you know, I used to be a tradition police, whereas if you was violating, for somebody would holler out, they just start sharing. Somebody said, "What's your name?" You know, scare the person half to death. You know what I mean? Never shared before in their life. You know, and they open up their mouth, they get the same treatment they used to get at the house. You know how when you say something in your mouth at the house, and your mom say, "Shut up, boy, what you say?" Now you in Narcotics Anonymous, you start talking. Somebody say, "Who are you?" They be like, "You know, I don't even want to share no more." You know, this is an anonymous program. He ain't got to say who he is. You know, he ain't even got to say he an addict. The program just suggests that we identify in so that we can begin to address our similarities rather than our differences. But it's only a suggestion. The other thing is, some people will slip up and say alcohol. Or, I'm an alcoholic and addict, you know. And so now we got a clarity statement that addresses that, you know. And it would be somebody in the meeting that will holler out, "Man, you can't say that." Which for real, what he's doing is he's disrupting the continuity of the meeting, you know. And the atmosphere has been disruptive, you know. So I used to be that guy. So what I do now is I allow people to make mistakes, and if I see the need to pull them up or correct them, I will address them at the end of the meeting. Not only does it give me an opportunity to meet somebody new and to share some information that I got myself with somebody else, you know, but it also gives me an opportunity to give somebody some information that they could take someplace else. Because what's going to happen is everybody in here one day going to find themselves in a meeting, and they're going to be the one in there with the most time. And people are going to be looking to you for answers. It doesn't matter. If you keep coming back, it's going to happen. You know. So it would behoove you, as well as me, to try to become as informed as I can, because I don't want to mislead nobody. This is a life-saving program that we're in. People don't come in here because they're doing good and they got it going on and everything going all right for them. We come here because we all broke up, messed up, don't know what to do, and usually this is our last hope. And trust me, the newcomer hangs on our every word. I got newcomers that walk up to me that's got 2 or 3 years clean and will tell me something they remember I said when they had 90 days, 60 days, or 30 days. You know, so it's important that we don't be flippant with the things that we say. You know, it's been a great opportunity, and you know, I'm just enjoying life. I really didn't expect to share. Hope somebody got something out of it. The traditions are usually not very exciting, but you know, I'm glad that they did, because it keeps a lot of the confusion out the way. And what happens is, when you find yourself involved in a meeting or a committee meeting where there's a lot of chaos and confusion, you know, I have newcomers that we've been in the area service committee meeting, and man, it'd be some rough meetings. I don't know about y'all's area service, but we be in there, we be acting ourselves in there. We be going for it, you know. And I be, you know, when I was on the other side, like a GSR, it was okay. You know, I'd be just as confused as the next person, you know. What's going on? Why y'all do that? What y'all do with the money? And I was, you know, be a part of it. But to be on the other side now, they have to try to keep some calmness there, you know, some structure there, you know, to be able to relate that that's in direct contradiction to the tradition, you know. What I do at the earlier service committee meeting is I ask people, I say, y'all got to help me out, you know. You all need to know this information so that you can better serve your area and your group, you know. So it's important to me to not only know who I am and what I am, but to be able to be of service and useful for somebody else. You know, I know most of y'all are probably tradition polices too, you know. So that's why y'all in here. Look, they put us way down on the end, you know. So you had to want to be here to get here to this meeting. Yeah, ain't too many people in here by mistake. So how much time I got there? We finished? I'm finished anyway. Okay, all right. You know, this has been really good for me. I see one of my old friends here that grew up with me. You know, my wife came out to support me, you know. Traditions was not important in the street, in the community, but they are important here. So put your sponsor to work. You know, if y'all don't do a lot of talking about the traditions, pick the book up and ask them some things, you know. Because this is a wonderful program, and everybody is important in here. Everybody is important. The newcomer, the old-timer, you know, we all matter, you know. Your opinion counts. Your vote is important. Don't take it lightly. Don't raise your hand simply because Joe Blow raised his hand. Raise your hand because you believe in the change that is to take place. Raise your hand because you think it's the right thing to do. And when the group vote against you, you ain't got to quit them. That's what the first tradition is talking about. When the group vote against me, that I have to be willing to be man enough to say, okay, the conscience of the group went against me. What can I do to make it work? Get with the program, you know. And those are things that I learned here. Okay, that's enough out of me. I want to thank y'all for listening. Thanks for letting me share.
About 10 minutes before the scheduled end of this meeting, so we're going to open up the microphone to anybody who would like to come up and share. Just please remember to come up one at a time and share directly into the mic. Don't all rush. Since I don't see any mad rush to the microphone, I think I'll ask somebody to come up and read just for today.
Good evening, Vanna. My name is Lan. I'm an addict.
Amen.
Leon.
Hi, Leon.
See, when I was out there on the street, you can call me anything.
Okay.
I even forgot my own name at one point. Okay. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone, any name, who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today. All right.
And let's close with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.
Thanks a lot, everybody, for coming out.